The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Reish Chaf Aleph, Din Tainis Yartzeit. This simon is the final simon in the laws of mourning, and it talks about what's known as a yartzeit. The word yartzeit is a Yiddish word. It's really two words together. Yar is a year, and zeit is a time. And it means the anniversary of the death of the passing away of a relative, and that's observed every year. There's a source in the Gemara about that, talking about Avshalom, that David HaMelech would mourn for his son Avshalom, and by doing so, he was able to give him a schus, give him a merit in the next world. And the idea of the yartzeit is through doing tshuva, through fasting, through doing repentance, through doing certain good deeds for a schus, for a merit of a deceased person, then that brings them merit in the next world. And it also can even take away the strength of the judgment against them in the world to come. Now, besides for fasting, which was a very strong practice in the times of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, today it became a little bit less common because people find it difficult to fast, and there are sources for that idea that Nechlashu Adair said people became weaker, but it's at least observed by saying Kaddish, if one could daven for the Amud, if one could lead the services, then that's a good thing, because through that you cause everyone to say Amen, and you represent them, and that's a schus, that's a merit for the person that passed away. Also, in general, to do things on that day to bring merit for the person, whether it's giving tzedakah, whether it's giving charity, whether it's doing other good deeds, learning Mishnayos. Also, Mishnah, as you know, it has the letters Oseis Neshama, the same letters as a soul, as the word Neshama, soul. And therefore, that's also something that people do for the yartzeit. It's also brought that for a Talmud Chacham, for a great person, Meshiv and Yeshiva al Kivrei, that on the day of the passing, they get together and they gather and they remember his learning, his Torah. And from that, it becomes an idea of also celebrating a yartzeit, again, remembering the good deeds that the person did and learning from them. And all these things are a schus, are a merit for that person, that we preserve their memory, preserve their legacy, and that gives them a schus, a merit, even in the next world. Most of the simmons going to primarily be talking about which day is considered to be the yartzeit in different scenarios, and if one doesn't know when the yartzeit is, this is going to be much of the discussion of the kitzer in this simmon. Tzif Aleph. Mitzvah l'ha'anais b'chol shana yem shemeis b'aviv. It's a mitzvah, it's a good deed to fast every year on the day that a mother or father died. It seems to be specifically a parent because a child has an obligation to honor them, and that's why this specifically talks about a parent. Obviously, there's an idea for other relatives as well, but there's a special significance of a parent. What's the purpose of the fasting? Like in any fast, the purpose is not just to refrain from eating, but it's to bring oneself to tshuva, to repentance. To look into one's deeds in that day, and to have charata. Charata means to feel sorry for, and which is obviously the beginning of doing tshuva, of doing repentance. And through this yiske izake, one could cause merit as of v'simoy for the parents. She's albag and aiden, and they could reach a higher level in the world to come. There's an idea also that just like a seed grows over time, that a person's good deeds in this world can grow over time. Meaning to say, a person, say, established a yeshiva, let's say, and now they passed away, and that yeshiva flourishes when they're in the next world, so they get the merit. They get the new merits of those things. A person started a tzedakah fund, and that thing grows and does more tzedakah even though they're not in this world anymore, so a person still gets the benefits. Same idea here, that if the child learns more Torah and does more mitzvahs for the sake of the parent, then the parent will be able to get the benefits of that in the world to come and get even a greater place. Now, because this is what's known as a Tainus Yachid, it's a personal fast, so therefore one has to be makabla, one has to accept it beforehand during mincha time. Well, Erev Betfilas Mincha, in the evening before, at mincha time, Omer Aneinu, he says Aneinu. I'm sorry, this is talking about on the fast itself, one should say Aneinu, Kamei B'chol Tainus Yachid, as one says in every personal Tainus. Im Hisana Pamachas. Now, before we get to the next point, I believe one is supposed to, the mincha before, say that they are accepting the fast, because any tainus yachid, any personal tainus, one needs to accept the day before. On the tainus itself, one says anenu, and that's what's mentioned over here in the kitzur. Himisana pamachas, if the person fasted one time, then it would seem that a person accepted upon himself for all his days. Then it becomes like a vow, which is a Torah obligation. And he always has to fast. So this is an interesting point. We find a whole discussion about this in the laws of Nedarim, which is if a person accepts upon himself a good practice, then that becomes like a neder, becomes like a vow, and a person needs to continue to do that unless they get hatara, they get an annulment of the vow. So therefore, if a person started to fast every year for the parent, that would be like a vow, and they would have to continue doing so unless they get hatara for it, unless it gets annulled, and a person needs some sort of legitimate reason to annul it. Now, because of this, it's a good idea for a person before they start doing it to speak out. There's only bli neder, but it's meant to have that level of commitment, because a person doesn't know, maybe things will change and they'll have a need, but they won't be able to do it in the future. If the person is ill, or for some other reason he needs to eat, he needs to go to someone, a bezdin, a rabbi, to allow him to annul it and allow him to eat. Now, I do believe that there's an opinion of the Dagom Ravava, the Behuda, who holds that something that a person would not have initially accepted under those circumstances, right? If a person, even though a person accepted to fast, but they didn't accept it in a situation where they would be sick, so he holds that one does not need Hatara. Now, it seems that the Kitzur and others say you do, so that's why it's a good idea to always speak it out in the beginning to say bli neder, it should not be with a neder, so then you're not going to run into this issue. Bim perish she'en makabalav b'neder, and as we mentioned, if one speaks out that they are not accepting it as a vow, ein tzarich hatara, then one does not need to have it annulled, and therefore that's why it's a good idea to do that. Nagin lahadlik ner yartzai, the custom is to light a candle for the yartzai, because a candle represents the neshama, the soul, that's why there's this custom. The Sha'ar Metzion HaMalacha brings a discussion about what if two relatives, say both parents, share the same yartzai, pass away on the same day. So he brings different customs, whether they like one candle or two candles, and obviously each custom is a legitimate custom. Sif Beis. Mis'anim lo'olam b'yom ha'misa. So now the kitzur is going to talk about how do we determine what is called the anniversary, what is called the yartzai. So he says, usually we always go according to the day the person actually passed away. Even the first year, even though the person died at the end of the day, even though the people already davened Ma'ariv, so therefore, in some respects, it would be considered like the night already, but since it's actually the time of the time the person passed away was during the day, so the yartzeit is during the day. If it's still day, nikba zehayayim, the yartzeit. That this day is considered to be the yartzeit. Achim akru kvura nimshucham en amisa is a yamim. Now, what happens if the burial was not right away, but it was a few days later? So the question is, do we go according to the day the person passed away, or do we go according to the time a person was buried? Zayisana Shana Rishana B'Yamakfor. So the first day, the first year after the passing, you observe the day of the burial. And the reason for that is because the year was really has to do with when the mourning began. The mourning only began once the person was buried. So therefore, you can't really start counting the year until then. But in the future, once it's not, doesn't have to do with the laws of mourning anymore, it just has to do with remembering when the person passed away, then after the first anniversary, then you revert back to the day the person actually passed away. The Sha'ar Mitzionim Ba'alacha brings a discussion about if the person passed away Ben Hashmash, that's the in-between period between day and night, in between Shkia when the sun goes beneath the horizon, and Seis when the three stars come out. So he says the consensus of the Paiskim seems to be that we go according to the later time, because a person has a Cheskas Chai, we consider a person has having an established concept that the person's already living, so if we're going to say he wasn't living anymore, then we have to assume that happened later. That's what he says as far as if the question is when the person passed away. Meaning to say we know he passed away Ben Hashmashas during this time, and the question is should we consider it the day before or the next day. He says, however, if the person just doesn't remember when the parent passed away, the earlier or the later day, so he says it's not a question of the person living, but it's a question of the person's obligation. So then we say when it comes to your obligation, we say you should fulfill your obligation at the soonest possible time, and therefore they should observe the earlier day. This is an idea that the Sha'ar Mitzion Balocha brings different sources about over here on this simon. Siv Gimel. Imeis leimeis v'shonam uberes. So this we get to an interesting question. That what happens if the person passed away during a leap year? So a leap year means that there's two Adar, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. But Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, one of those, in either the first Adar or the second Adar, has a B'shona B'shuta. So the next year that it's not a leap year, Mis'ana came B'Adar. So you fast whatever day it was an Adar, whether it was the first Adar or the second Adar. The next year there's only one Adar, you do whatever day it was in whichever Adar it was. B'shona Mubaris, Mis'ana B'zah Adar Shemes. But if this, when it comes to be a leap year, then if the person passed away in Adar Rishon, you fast and you observe the Yartzeit in Adar Rishon. Person passed away in Adar Sheni, then you observe in Adar Sheni. Now, what happens the opposite? Meis b'shana pshuta, the person passed away in a regular year. Now, asai b'shana muberes, now the next year you have two Adars. So the question becomes, which Adar, the first or the second? Yis'ana b'Adar Rishon says the Kitzer, you should fast in the first Adar, you should observe the yard site. So gam b'Adar Sheni yer mekadosh, but the second one you should also do something. But if others have a yartzeit specifically on that day, then you should let them go first. And there's a whole discussion about it with Kaddish, who comes first or second, whether it's a yartzeit comes before someone who's during the year, various different halachas. But it seems that the reason why you observe the yartzeit on the first possibly is because, again, since you have an obligation, we try to do the obligation as soon as possible. Siv Dalad. Siv Dal talks about the month of Cheshvan. The month of Cheshvan is sometimes what's known as Mole, which means it has 30 days, and day 30 and the first of the following month are Rosh Chodesh. Sometimes it's 29 days, and there's only one day Rosh Chodesh, just the first of the following month. So we're going to have all the same types of questions with the month of Cheshvan. So the following who Mole says the kids are sometimes it's full, the Hayim Rishiyesh Shloishim Yom, that has 30 days, was Rosh Chodesh Kislev Shla'achrav, then the following month, the first of the month, who shnei yamim, it's a 2-day Rosh Chodesh. Yom Rishon de Rosh Chodesh, the first day of Rosh Chodesh, who yom ha-shloshim shel Cheshvan, it would be the 30th of Cheshvan, v'shayach lai, and that's part of Cheshvan. Yom ha-sheni de Rosh Chodesh, the second day of Rosh Chodesh, who yom Rishon shel Kislev, it's the first of Kislev. And the Kislev adds in parentheses, v'chim b'chol Rosh Chodesh shehu shnei yamim. This is generally so, anytime you have a Rosh Chodesh, for a beginning of a month, that is 2 days, the day 30 belongs to the month before. And sometimes it's missing. What does that mean? It only has 29 days. And then the Rosh Chodesh of Kislev is only 1 day. And the month of Kislev as well. Sometimes it's a full month, 30 days. It's 2 days Rosh Chodesh for the following month, sometimes it's only 29 days. Rosh Chodesh Tevish L'Achav Harav Kim Echad. It's only 1 day. Now, it's just interesting to point out that the reason for this fluctuation of the size of the month is because the real amount of time of a lunar month is around 29 and a half days. So in order to equal things out, what the Chazal made is that most of the month, I'll go back and forth between Mala and Chaser. Some have 28, 29 days, some have 30 days. There are certain months that, depending on the calendar of the year, sometimes it has 29 days, sometimes it has 30 days. Now the Kitz is going to explain how this idea, this concept, is going to affect determining when the Yahrzeit is. If a person's relative passed away on the Rosh Chodesh of Kislev, sometimes it's only 1 day. So he passed away when it was a 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. As I b'shana sheyi Rosh Chodesh Kislev shneyam, the next year, because of the calendar, it's 2 days. There is the 29th of Cheshvan and the first of Kislev. So which one is it? Then he says, even though generally in halacha before, when it came to Adar, you observe the first Adar, over here you observe the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Why? Shehu yom rishon shel chodesh Kislev. Because you observe the second day, because that is the first of the actual month of Kislev. Shegam hamisa haisa rishon beKislev. Because the person passed away also on the first of Kislev. Meaning to say, if the person passed away in a month where there was only 1 day Rosh Chodesh Kislev, so even if the next year there's going to be 2 days Rosh Chodesh, the 29th of Cheshvan and the first of Kislev, since the actual date, the real date, is the first of Kislev, then just the first of Kislev is observed. Now, this is the Kitzer, what happens in the opposite scenario? Amnam. What do you do if when the person passed away there was a 2 day Rosh Chodesh? And the person passed away on the 29th day. I'm sorry, the 30th day. The 30th of Cheshvan. So if the next year or whenever it's going to be, there's going to be a 2 day Rosh Chodesh. So Yeshlo Stafek Masay Achzik as a Yahrzeit. You could have a question, when should one observe the Yahrzeit? In Betishav Eshem B'Cheshben, should one observe the 29th day? Kivan Shemes B'Soif Cheshben, because the person died at the end of Cheshben, because it was day 30. Or Kivan Nedarim Holkam Achal Hashem B'nei Adam, or since there's an obligation made through a vow, because that's really what all of this is, and the way people talk, he passed away on Rosh Chodesh, even though it was 30 of Cheshvan, but it was called Rosh Chodesh in the vernacular. So just to explain one more time, the problem is that if a person passes away on day 30, so there is no day 30 the next year, because it fluctuates. So we have a choice. Either we could say the 29th of Cheshvan or the 1st of Kislev. The reason to say the 29th of Cheshvan is because the person passed away on the 30th of Cheshvan, and the 29th is the last day in Cheshvan, so that sort of is the same thing. Or do you say, well, in people's minds, the 30th of Cheshvan was Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So Rosh Chodesh Kislev is the first. And the 29th of Cheshvan is not Rosh Chodesh Kislev. This is the question that the Kitzer raises over here. So the Kitzer takes a very interesting approach. His approach is the following. His approach is that the real obligation of observing a Yahrzeit is based on the concept of a neder. As we mentioned before, that a person accepted a certain practice, and it's an obligation upon themselves, that's really what creates the significance. So he says the following. He says, if the next year, meaning the first Yahrzeit, there was only 1 day of Rosh Chodesh. So he says, at that point it makes the most sense to keep the 29th day of Cheshvan, because the person didn't pass away in Kislev, he passed away in Cheshvan. So once you do that, then it becomes that you've solidified that the end of Cheshvan to be the Yahrzeit, and therefore in the next year, even if it'll be a Malay, even if there'll be 2 days Rosh Chodesh, but it's always going to be on day 30, it's always going to be the last day of the month of Cheshvan. He says, however, if the first Yahrzeit was a Chassid, it's only 1 day, so he says, then the first day, so if there were 2 days, so then, and then the, and obviously the 30 day is going to be observed, because that's the one the person passed away. He said then already it becomes that the Yahrzeit is the Rosh Chodesh Kislev. That's what people consider it to be. They don't consider it to be day 30. They consider it to be Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So therefore, if the following year, they should observe the first of Kislev as the Yahrzeit, because since the net of the vow was made, and the vows go according to Lashon Bnei Adam, the way people talk, and the significance of the day would now be, based on the vernacular, would be Rosh Chodesh Kislev, one should continue keeping it Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So basically these two tracks, based on what the first Yahrzeit is. The first Yahrzeit is going to be Chaser, so therefore there's only 29 days. So then it's going to end up being established that it's the end of Cheshvan, and then it's always going to be the end of Cheshvan, either day 29 or day 30. If the first Yahrzeit is 2 days, then it's become established that it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and therefore in a month that there's only one day of Rosh Chodesh, it's still going to be on Rosh Chodesh, even though it's Kislev, not Cheshvan. Now let's see the Kitzer inside, who's going to explain this to us. Yesh l'nai ken, you should act as the following. B'shana Rishayna haba Rosh Chodesh Kislev hu rakim echad. If the first anniversary of the death, the first Yahrzeit, there's only one day of Rosh Chodesh, Yachzik as a Yahrzeit b'tishah v'esrim b'cheshvan. Then they should observe it the 29th day, because that's the person. That's when the person passed away at the end of cheshvan. V'chein la'olam. Then once you do that, k'shiyah cheshvan chaser. If cheshvan will be chaser, you always do it on the 29th day, because you've established that it's the end of cheshvan. Mikol malkam in machrasa b'yam rosh chodesh ain't shem aveilim. He says, but if there's no one else who needs to daven for the amma, and you would have the opportunity to lead the prayers, Yesh legam kilamar kaddish l'spal. Then, if one could do both, it's a good thing. They should say kaddish and lead the prayers lifnei ateva. Rak liyasek v'lachem. But again, you shouldn't push off others, because it's questionable if that's the real obligation. So that's track one. Again, that is only the first year was only a chaser, only 29 days. So 29th of cheshvan, the end of cheshvan becomes the Yahrzeit. And whenever there's only one day of Rosh Chodesh, you do not do it on Rosh Chodesh. You do it on the last day of cheshvan. Avol, im gam b'shana rishayna haba Rosh Chodesh Kislev hu shnei yamim. But if the first year of the death, it's 2 day Rosh Chodesh, hazai kaveh yartzei l'Rosh Chodesh Kislev. So then it becomes that the acceptance of the custom is on something that's called Rosh Chodesh Kislev. V'yachzikein l'olam, and therefore you should keep doing that. V'gam k'shiyah Rosh Chodesh rakim echad, and therefore if there's only be 1 day Rosh Chodesh, Yachziku Oz Rosh Chodesh, then they should do it Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and not the 29th of Cheshvan, the Huadin Rosh Chodesh Teves, and the same is true will be with Rosh Chodesh Teves. Sif Hei, V'kivon, and since Rosh Chodesh Teves, Hu Lufam Rakim Echad, the first of the month, the Rosh Chodesh of Teves is only, sometimes only 1 day, Dahana Yem Shishi de Chanukah, which comes out to be the 6th day of Chanukah, V'hara Yem Shishi de Chanukah Echad B'Teves, and that it would be the first of Teves, Yom Shvi Shena B'Teves, and the seventh day of Chanukah would be the second of Teves, Yom Shmini, and the last day of Chanukah would be Shlishi B'Teves, the third of Teves, with Amos Shnei Yomim, and sometimes there's 2 days, so then it's going to be different, Da'inu Yom Shishi V'Gam Yom Shvi D'Chanukah, V'Oz Hava Yom Shvi D'Chanukah Echad B'Teves, so then it's going to be pushed up a day. In other words, that the seventh day of Chanukah is going to be only the first of Teves, not the second. Yom Shmini Sheni B'Teves, and the eighth day is going to be the second. So the point that the kids are making over here is there's a person can make the following mistake. They could remember that their relative passed away on, say, the sixth night of Chanukah. But the sixth night of Chanukah, depending on whether it's a mali or a chaser, will have a different date. So, and he says, the laws of the Yahrzeit go according to the date, not according to the night of Chanukah. So therefore he says, you should remember it as the proper date, not as the night of Chanukah, otherwise you could be making a mistake which day you're observing. That's what he's pointing out. And he says, L'chem ishi yesh liyartzeh b'yom elu, what has a Yahrzeit on those days of Chanukah? La'yita, one should not make a mistake, l'mleis yimei Chanukah, to count it as a day of, according to the days of Chanukah, so the sixth night, the seventh night, because you have to go according to the days of the month. Siv Vav talks about days that we don't fast because of a simcha, of joy, a day that one does not say tachanun, and mesanam tainis yartzeit, one does not fast the yartzeit tainis as well, the fast of the yartzeit as well. V'chein b'yam mila, and also if there's a bris, ha'av v'sandek v'mayil, the father of the child, the sandek, the one that holds the child during the bris, v'mayil, the one that performs the bris, amis anim, they do not fast. V'chein b'yam ben, same would be true if it falls out on the day of a pidyon haben, a redemption of the firstborn. Ha'av, the father, va'kain, and the kain who's accepting the redemption. Ein mis'anam, they do not fast. V'chein chasan, also a groom, b'shivas yimei ha'mishta, during sheva brachas, ein mis'anam, does not fast. Aval suda siyum, but if one attends a siyum, a finishing of a mesechta, also lechal b'yom yartzeit, that would not be enough to push away a yartzeit. That is the opinion of the shach. Now, the days one does not fast, so one should still do things in merit of the one that passed away. I'll go upon him. But Torah of a mitzvah, one should involve himself in Torah and mitzvahs. We share my some Torah and other good deeds. The zakos nishmas of imai to merit the soul of the father and mother. Siv zayin. Belaila should b'yom amachas yibay yartzeit. The night preceding the day of the yartzeit. Ein loy lechol besudas chasunais. They should not eat at a place that they're making it's a joyous and light occasion for in honor of a bride and a groom. And it's a lot of joy, because since it's a sort of like a sad or reflective type of day, that's not appropriate. Now the Sharmas Yonam Balacha brings shitas that hold, opinions that hold, it's only the first year. But after the first year, it's permitted. Again, whatever one's custom is, that's what they should do. About Basudas Bris Milo, opinion of Ben, Vsi Meseches, but Bris or opinion of Ben, or finishing of Mesechta, those are not as joyous and lightheaded, and therefore one will be allowed to attend. Sivches, Misha any Adeya Yamis of Inimai, if a person does not know when the parent passed away, this is unfortunately very common during the Holocaust, that people didn't know, knew that their parent died, but they did not have any idea when the yartzeit was. Yivril Emecha B'Shana L'Sanais, one should pick one day, Haval Yasek V'Lachem B'Kadishim, but they should not come before others who have a known yartzeit on that specific day. They do bring, Sharam Mitzian Al-Halacha talks about, other Sfarim talk about it, that let's say they knew that the person died within a certain span of time, so let's say a couple months, so they should take the last day of those months. Because again, based on the concept we said before, of a cheskes chai, the person is assumed situation of life, so therefore unless we know for sure, then we assume that the person was living until the latest possible time. Just like to mention, there are a lot of halachas and sources regarding the importance of saying Kaddish after a parent particularly, and what it does for the neshama, what it does for the soul. The Kaddish is not so much brought in the Gemara, and the Kitzur over here doesn't speak that much, really doesn't mention it. Now there are a number of different halachas that apply as far as who comes first in certain places that only one person says Kaddish, and how long one says Kaddish for a parent. One says 11 months, and then on the day of the yartzeit. But I'd just like to mention one of the sources brought. And basically, the source that's brought is from an Arzurua, and that brings a Medrash Tanchuma that says basically Rabbi Kiva met a person who was in Shemaim in other world, and he looked very emaciated, very sickly, and he asked him why, and he said because he didn't keep the mitzvahs properly, and therefore he's suffering because of it. And Rabbi Kiva asked him, do you have anybody in this world, any descendants? And he said he has a child. And Rabbi Kiva found the child and brought up the child. And basically, when the child went into shul and said Baruch Hu, and everyone answered him Amen Yehishmei Rabba, and it was proclaiming the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this person was brought up from his lower state in Gan Eden in the world to come. He was given a much better standing. Basically, the idea is that causing the whole tzibur, the whole congregation, to come together and proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, that has a tremendous kayach, a tremendous spiritual power, and that's why Kaddish is an important thing, and there's a lot of different sources for it. And there are also various halachas as far as when Kaddish is said and is not said, and second one takes precedence as far as who says Kaddish in situations where only one says Kaddish. And also as far as davening for the Amud, leading the services, there's also the same type of question as far as who takes precedence over whom. And there are various halachas about it, but again, the main point that I'd just like to mention is the significance of it, that through doing, whether it's Kaddish, whether it's Mishnayos, they're doing different things. As the Ilui Neshama, as a merit for the soul of the person that passed away, one's able to continue to give merit for the relative who is in Olam Emes, who is in the world of truth.